This is LBC London News.
Right now, though, let's talk about the Golden Globes. They focused heavily on the sexual harassment scandal in Hollywood. Many of the stars wearing black as they picked up their awards to show their support for victims of abuse. But many of the big winners saying that they're standing together. We've heard from Meryl Streep already. We've also heard from Reese Witherspoon as well. She collected an award for Big Little Lies. In the film category, three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri won four awards. But everyone is talking about Oprah Winfrey. She gave a barnstorming speech after giving a speech after she was given the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Outstanding Contribution. Lots of people now saying that was a presidential speech. Let's speak to our US correspondent, Simon Marks. A very good evening to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
So, Oprah, 2020, could she be in the running to beat Trump?
She has emphatically denied on numerous occasions just within the last few months that she will ever run for elected office, much less for the presidency of the United States. But take a listen to this and you be the judge.
So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men.
Oprah Winfrey at the Golden Globes in Los Angeles last night, of course seizing, like so many others did during the award ceremony, on the absence of one particular man from that award ceremony, Harvey Weinstein, whose name and whose shadow hung very thick over the Golden Globe ceremony. This, of course, the first big awards show since the Harvey Weinstein scandal destroyed him and went on to destroy so many others in Hollywood, in the news media here, and in other industries across the United States and around the world. And we woke up here in Washington this morning, certainly to find a large number of usually fairly sober political analysts all tweeting, "She's running." That was the firing gun, they argue, in the 2020 presidential race. There are some other voices here that say, well, hang on a second, not so fast. First of all, she has emphatically denied, as I said, on numerous occasions that she would seek the presidency. And, you know, the most recent denial came in October of last year. So not much has changed since October, although, of course, we now know that Donald Trump is a very stable genius. So maybe that was one of the things that contributed to Oprah Winfrey's decision to pump up the energy in that speech last night. But there are also voices here that say, tantalizing though it may be to imagine a race between Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump, actually, that would only further the delay and perhaps even ultimately derail any kind of return to normal political life electorally here in the United States. But look, I mean, there's no question she's a huge draw. She's a huge name. And as you heard there, she can certainly make a barnstormer of a speech.
Absolutely. I mean, you could really imagine her giving that speech at an inauguration ceremony on the steps of the Well, where does it happen? I can't think of it.
Yes, up on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, you can imagine her doing it.
Precisely.
CNN talking, saying something that came down on the wires to us that she's actively running for president, according to two of her friends. But as you say, that goes against what she said back in October.
It does. It does. I mean, CNN says two friends that they've spoken to say that she is actively considering a run at the presidency. And I suppose it's fair to say that to some extent, all of this fevered excitement further demonstrates the total vacuum that exists atop the Democratic Party. I mean, the only other person whose name sort of excites people like this would be Michelle Obama, and who similarly has an extraordinary ability rhetorically to deliver barnstorming speeches. But neither Michelle Obama nor Oprah Winfrey are prominent, ever-present, continuing figures in the national discourse here politically. And the fact remains that given that there is no official leader of the opposition in the United States, that's not the way the American political system works, and given that we are still a long way away from 2020 or even the winter of 2019 when candidates will start trudging through the snows of Iowa and New Hampshire, it's not apparent who speaks for the Democratic Party here. And I think that's been a huge problem that the party has had. You know, Donald Trump speaks for himself, speaks for his government, and speaks volumes all the time. And when you turn on the television here or read the newspaper, you know, does Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi or Senator Chuck Schumer, does that really do it for them? I don't think it does. And that's why Oprah Winfrey makes one speech and suddenly tongues are wagging here about Oprah 2020.
I think she was trending, wasn't she, on Twitter?
Oh, she's definitely trending. You'd expect Oprah to trend,
well,
though,
of course.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, 41 million followers. She is a staple, or has been a staple, in people's living rooms. In the same way, similarly, Trump was before he decided to run for president. Everyone knows who Oprah is.
Yes, that's interesting. He's still got more Twitter followers than her, hasn't he?
He's got,
I'm just looking, 46.3 million, so he slightly edges her out there. But yes, I mean, they suffer from the same weaknesses as well, though. No political experience, no national organisation. But, you know, that didn't stop Donald Trump from winning the Republican Party's nomination. Why on earth should it stop Oprah Winfrey from winning the Democratic Party's nomination? I mean, what we know of her politics, I think you'd have to say that she was on the Bernie Sanders edge of the Democratic Party. She doesn't appear to be a centrist like Hillary Clinton, and she's very much in many ways the anti-Hillary, because she's not steeped in Democratic Party politics at a very high level for the last 30 years or so. She's been running also a business empire like Donald Trump. So there's no question it's a very, very tantalising idea. I would just caution everybody that we're at the very, very early stages of this process, but I probably cautioned everybody about that the day Donald Trump declared that he was running for the presidency of the United States as well.
Goodness me, how we remember those heady days.
Oh, those halcyon days.
Yeah. let's talk now, Simon. I know we've been talking over the last couple of weeks or so about Fire and Fury, that book reporting on the last year of Donald Trump's White House, but three people have been injured after a fire broke out at Trump Tower. Talk us through the detail of what happened there, Simon.
Yes, a fire on the roof of Trump Tower that appears to have involved a heating, ventilation and air conditioning unit that appears somehow to have shorted out. Quite dramatic pictures of the blaze, smoke emanating from the top of Trump Tower. The injured were a firefighter who was hurt when some debris fell on him, an engineer who tried to put the fire out with an extinguisher and inhaled smoke, and a civilian whose injuries haven't yet been disclosed by the New York Fire Department, but they say none of the injuries was life-threatening. This all began at around 7 o'clock in the morning up in New York City, and it took about an hour for the fire brigade to take control of the blaze and put it out. Obviously, Trump Tower is home not just to the Trump Organization and to Donald Trump's personal residence. It's also home to a whole raft of other organizations and businesses, so there's no direct connection to Donald Trump here, but for the fact that it's happening in the tower block that his property empire built. It's also just worth noting that, ironically, coincidentally, there's been a lot of fire about because Bill and Hillary Clinton's home caught fire last week. A bedroom blaze that I think was also caused by some kind of electrical short circuit that may, I have to go and check, I think it was also in a heating unit and did some damage to their property in Chappaqua. There were various wags on Twitter who suggested that perhaps Hillary Clinton was burning some of her emails at the time. I wonder if those same wags will be suggesting that perhaps people close to Donald Trump were getting rid of records relating to his conversations with the Russians.
And Simon, some interviews have been making headlines across the pond as well.
Yes, one interview in particular, a very dyspeptic television exchange yesterday between one of President Trump's top aides, Stephen Miller, a young advisor and speechwriter to the president at the White House, and Jake Tapper, who hosts the Sunday morning programme on CNN. And this interview got off to a very bad start and continued and didn't get any better until Jake Tapper decided to terminate the interview, saying that Stephen Miller had wasted enough of my viewers' time. It was an extraordinary event for a couple of different reasons. I mean, first of all, it's absolutely apparent that in the aftermath of Stephen Bannon's betrayal, Stephen Bannon, of course, having cooperated with Michael Wolff's book Fire and Fury and made those claims that he now says he regrets about Donald Trump Jr. engaging in treasonous meetings with Russian emissaries. The President of the United States has made it very clear to members of his inner circle, particularly those like Stephen Miller, who are close to Stephen Bannon, that it's time to decide who are you going to be loyal to, Bannon or the president. And so Stephen Miller took to CNN yesterday to make it very clear, Jake Tapper argued to an audience of one, namely President Trump, that his loyalty is to the president and not to Stephen Bannon. The interesting news that was made by the interview, which has not been seized upon here because everybody, I think, largely is wasting their time talking about this television dust-up between a White House member of staff who had the, you know, was kind enough to wander over to CNN and give an interview, and a CNN interviewer who didn't like the way the interview was going and so terminated it. The actual news in the interview related to the fact that when asked if he could say categorically that Donald Trump had not met those Russian emissaries personally when they visited Trump Tower in the middle of the election campaign, Stephen Miller evaded the question. Now, you know, it's a very simple yes or no question, isn't it? Did the president meet the Russians inside Trump Tower? You can say yes, you can say no, or you can say, I don't know, I wasn't there. And instead, he engaged in the kind of evasion that ultimately led to CNN wrapping the interview up. He then refused, apparently, to leave the set, and security had to be called to escort him out of the studio. Absolutely, as you know, no love lost whatsoever between the Trump administration and CNN, which the Trump administration insists is fake news.
Talking of fake news, the yes. awards season is underway. We were expecting to talk about the fake news awards today, but Mr. Trump, President Trump, saying that there is such interest in the awards, they are now being moved to the 17th of January. How glittering are they going to be, Simon?
We're just going to have to wait, aren't we, Chris? Good news, though, presumably, we've all got another, 7 or 8 days to try and come up with an entry that attracts his attention. I mean, it's still very... I mean, I'm... You know, this was a totally crazy weekend, obviously, given the tweets in which he asserted that he was a very stable genius and by so doing raised a whole raft of fresh questions about his own mental acuity. He's heading off at the end of this week to Walter Reed National Medical Center for that physical examination that we've all been waiting for. I think that's due to take place on Friday. And then allegedly next week, he's going to give out awards to the most fake and corrupt news media. I mean, and they actually said he's going to be handing these awards over. That, of course, would require the fake and corrupt news media to be present in the room to receive those awards. So I this is a complete utter circus. I have no idea whether news organizations here will agree to show up for a presidential event. Maybe they'll just send one pool camera to film it and share the material out. I think we're going to have to wait and see where this goes, but it's a pretty astonishing thing for a president of the United States to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's been keeping you busy this weekend, that's for
sure. He certainly has, yes, absolutely. Well, he's back in Washington now from Camp David watching extensive amounts of television news, we now believe. The website Axios reported today that while the Trump team constantly push back on this notion that he watches up to 8 hours of cable news a day, in fact, what they're now doing is disguising that on his presidential schedule and calling it executive time.
We've all been reading the same book.
Who among us hasn't had a little bit of executive time? I didn't get much this weekend. Maybe I'll watch a movie tonight.
Yeah, good plan. Good plan. Thank you very much, Simon Marks.
Cheers,
live
Chris.
From Washington, our US correspondent. Donald Trump, of course, keeping him very busy indeed. You can follow all the twists and turns on Simon's Twitter account, @SimonMarksFSN. You are listening to LBC London News. Latest travel for you next.